are you getting on with video?
I touched it since Sunday, I ain't been here for now.
Aren't you?
No,
all right. He's been a gallivanting.
That's right, good for him.
I've been in London until about 3 hours ago.
Oh, yeah.
Bill.
Oh, yeah. Didn't realise you were trolling off.
I thought you might have heard there had been. I thought you might have heard from somebody else there had been.
Oh, no,
I can't go anywhere, me, without being noticed.
I know, but you
walking through Houses of Parliament, I get tapped on shoulder. Hi, Bill.
I just thought can't it's something this. To get for her, because she needs to listen to me.
Judith.
I thought
so you're a member of this show, aren't you?
You'll like one.
Wow. Oh, it was. It was a prayer meeting again, wasn't it? Remember when you said it were
early September? Yeah.
You know,
like
you usually give.
Ah, very good.
So, what were they praying
for
this time?
Turn around God. That was the message. There was a speaker on that, God turning things around. A lot of praying against the possible decision for the marriage thing, you know, gay marriage and all that.
Yeah.
Praying against that. I mean, these are all Conservatives. I mean, who's got the power to bring it in or not bring it in?
Mm.
You know, so they should be able to influence the coalition, shouldn't they?
I should think so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely.
But prayer's the most powerful thing. I'm speaking for myself here.
Yeah.
I think I tend to underestimate the power of prayer. And I don't know how other people feel about that, but we talk so lightly about, oh, you know, we ought to pray, or we'll pray about that, as if it's the last resort. And yet, when we give it to God, He takes it off us, and He acts, always acts. On the situation.
It was a very powerful praying that was going on. You know, I mean, it weren't as well attended as what they normally are, but because it was the first day of the Parliament. It just back at sitting again this week, so things like that might not settle down, because normally it's packed out. About three quarters full this time, you know,
mm-hmm.
the quietest I've ever seen it, but it's still powerful, you know, what we're doing.
Yeah. That is ever so encouraging. To know that there are people in Parliament that still believe in prayer and are prepared to get stuck in, because it is the only thing that will turn the government.
Because you know, most people have only got the media as their interface between the politicians and themselves.
Mm.
Whatever the media give you, that's all you're going to get to know. The fact that we have these prayer meetings, that's never been on the 6 o'clock news.
No.
It's never been on the Daily Mirror.
No.
Good news is not.
Good news doesn't spread like that.
Prayer is so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't it really?
Definitely.
It can change the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It can change a person's life from being on the deathbed to being alive and in the, you know, rejoicing in what God has done for them. It can restore things that have been taken from us.
Yeah.
It gives life.
Amen.
It can change the direction of a nation.
Yeah.
It can even be a young child just praying for their own pet.
Mm.
And God listens.
Amen.
Isn't that great? He's interested in the smallest thing, but He's also interested in our nations.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's too small for God to be interested in, and there's nothing too big for Him. I think most people tend to think, oh, it's too small for God to be interested in you and me at times, but He is, because He wants to have that deep personal relationship with each and every one of us.
Yeah.
But remember, there's nothing too big for Him neither.
Praise God.
He's the God of the universe.
Uh-huh.
He's the creator of all things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we realise that there is tremendous power in prayer.
Oh, man.
It's prayer that will change so many things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Tracy, she's brought a request, there's a need in the family. The natural line for Tracy to go will be to start to worry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what the devil would want us to do.
Yeah.
It disturbs your sleep,
mm-hmm.
disturbs your appetite, your patterns of life, and causes your body to be stressed. That's not what God intended.
No.
God intends that you be at peace, because
yeah.
he's the God of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in the Bible do you read that he's the God of stress.
He's not.
No.
Dear.
No.
So that is foreign to God.
He says, fret not.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's what he says, fret not. But he does say he's the God of peace.
He is.
The devil's a devil of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Brings fear, doubt and unbelief. So for you and me, we need to realise more and more that if we start to fret, start to worry, start to have cares, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him.
Yeah.
All your burdens, all your cares, we cast them onto the Lord Jesus.
Praise God.
Because he will intercess on our behalf.
Yeah.
Now, we chatted the other week, in fact, didn't we, a little bit about prayer. And we were talking about that we pray in the name of Jesus. Because he's the advocate.
Mm.
He's the one who actually we go through. We come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. There's only one way.
Yeah.
And that one way is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's our entrance into the throne room of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's the keeper of the gate, shall we say,
mm.
in that sense, isn't he? He's the keeper of the gate. He's the good shepherd.
Oh, man.
And nothing is able to enter in beyond him at that gate.
Mm.
And you and I need to realise that as we begin to pray, we will see things change. Prayer, we've taught in the past, is when we target the things that are coming against us, when we target the enemy, and we begin to use the word of God. You see, prayer is a conversation that we're having with God, but in the sense that when we target our prayer and when we use the word of God in our words,
yeah.
Because prayer is this conversation we have with our Heavenly Father. And we tell him about certain situations and we ask him to intervene.
Yeah.
But when we use the word of God, these are like rockets that are launched with nuclear
yeah.
warheads on them.
Yeah.
Against the principalities and powers that come against us. Because the moment that you and I come to Christ, we become the number one enemy of the devil,
yeah.
of darkness. And God wants you to realise that as you pray and as you use the word of God against the enemy, then it's like launching a missile that will explode and bring disarray into the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
And prayer empowers angels to work on our behalf. The Bible tells us that we are to be served by ministering spirits.
Mm.
Ministering spirits, it means ministering angels.
Yeah.
And the angels are sent to minister to us because we are the heirs of salvation.
Yeah.
And so as they minister to us the heirs of salvation, then when we pray, we empower them to do the work. We command them. They are there to serve the heirs of salvation,
yeah.
which is you and I. And so when you lose something, and you've looked for it high and low, our friend the bishop used to say, well, send out the looking angels, and let them go and find him. And it's strange, but within a day or so, it suddenly appears.
Mm.
And you think, but I looked there.
Mm.
I looked there. I lost my phone some months back in the somewhere, didn't I? I could not find it. I looked high and low for it. I looked in the car two or three times, and it wasn't there. And I prayed. And a little bit later on, I went back out to the car. And there it was. And it's like, no. That wasn't there then. One time when we went to Israel, some people we met, they had a car, and when they arrived back at their hotel, they were emptying the car, taking things into the hotel room with them, and the camera was missing. 35mm SLR camera, and it's missing. It's no small item. And he searched the car high and low, and it wasn't there. So they prayed about it. The next morning he went down to the car, and it's in the well behind the driver's seat. How did it get there? Because he says, it wasn't there because I felt all over the car, and it wasn't there. I tell you, we are surrounded by a great host of witnesses.
Yeah, definitely.
Angels are there waiting for the heirs of salvation, the princes of the kingdom of God, the sons of God, to speak,
mm-hmm.
and they are there to serve us,
mm-hmm.
to work on our behalf. And it is astounding what they can and will do once we speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
Once we tell them, right now in this very room, there are angels.
There are.
You need and I need to pray, Lord, open my spiritual eyes to see them. And just because we cannot see them with our eyes at this time of flesh, that does not mean that they are not here. It's Kenneth Copeland. I heard him once say that it's like, in one sense, the spiritual realm is travelling faster than the speed of light. Therefore, it's invisible to us. And it's like when you get a visitation, and we read in Scripture of angels visiting Daniel, Gideon, Abraham, and you can list where angels have visited. And these angels became visible. Sodom and Gomorrah. They were visible. And yet, we realize that we are also surrounded by an invisible realm. When you read the story of the servant of the prophet Elisha, who has been surrounded by an army, and he's going to be taken captive, he just sits back and says, we're all right. Why? Because he could see in the realm of the spirit that around them was a mighty host of angels, chariots, horses and chariots with angels on. And the prophet's servant is in a panic. He's afraid. He's afraid for his life, he's afraid for the prophet, and he's in absolute panic. And then he says, God, open his eyes to see. Now wait a minute. He can see, because he's just gone into the prophet and said, we're surrounded by an army, so he can see. What was the prophet saying? He wasn't saying open his natural eyes. What he was saying was open his spiritual eyes, that he might see beyond the realm of the flesh.
Yeah.
And the moment that, and God allowed that to happen, and he saw the hosts of heavenly beings, angelic beings surrounding them, warriors. When you start to see that, you can think, bring it on. Come on. Because guess what? You're outnumbered. Because God is on our side. And so the enemy is outnumbered. And God is for us. And Daniel prayed. And his prayer was answered. It took 21 days for the answer to arrive because there were some hindrances. But then from the moment that he prayed, the answer was on its way. Our problem at times is that we don't know how to pray.
Mm.
We don't know what to pray for at times. And we don't know how we should pray at times. So many people pray that they go to God because they just want something. They treat God like a cash machine.
Yeah.
Go and punch in the right numbers in the name of Jesus. And that, they think that's it, you see. Punch in on the cash machine and out pops the answer. Well, it may work like that for a while. But like every cash machine, there does come a point where if you don't put anything in, there'll be nothing coming out.
Mm.
And I suppose in reality you have to say that in our prayer time and the things that we do in the house of God, how much do we deposit
mm-hmm.
into the kingdom? Mm. How much seed do we sow in the kingdom or on behalf of the kingdom? I suppose that takes us back, if you want it, we can look at the parable of the talents.
Mm.
And the giftings that people are given. And there are talents that were used and were multiplied or added to. And then there was one who was in the kingdom, who was part of the king's servants. But he did nothing with his talent but buried it.
Mm.
It was taken from him and he was cast into outer darkness. Yeah. Once saved, always saved? Question mark on it.
Mm.
I know there's still a lot of people that believe it's right, but there's a question mark with that parable for a starter. And how much do we deposit into the work of God? Now, I'm not just talking about money. That's not what I'm talking about in reality. Because when God's got hold of your heart and your desires are for him and you just keep inputting into him and you have a relationship with him, he's got everything else.
Yeah.
Because he is your source.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever bank you bank with is not your source.
Yeah.
Whichever company you work for is not your source.
Mm.
My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
Doesn't say according to the riches of the Bank of England or the Bank of Jerusalem, whatever it might be. You know, my shackles are gone, our shekels are gone. It's not about that, but it's about the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. It's the relationship that we develop in that realm of the kingdom of God. And that is done through prayer, conversation with God, and spending time in the Word of God. And as we develop that relationship and our prayer life grows, you and I will see more and more answers to prayer. You'll see things change. The Bible says, cast all your care. Well, that word cast means actually to hurl it. Yeah, throw it. Put some energy into it and throw it as far as you can towards God. But make sure there's no rope on it to pull it back. You know, don't have a piece of elastic springing back, because it will hit you in the face.
Mm.
Get rid of it. Mm. Because if you lose sleep on something, what did it do in changing that circumstance by you losing sleep?
It affected you.
That's right. Nothing, and it affected you.
It probably made it worse.
Yeah, because God didn't...
Because then your body responds to little things, worries,
yeah.
Stress, depression.
Right.
And
affects
your body
you.
Affects.
But at the same time, you see, God is saying, while you're worrying and fretting, you sort of like got your hands on it to some degree, and God's saying, well,
mm-hmm.
Can't do anything till you take your hands off this. When you take your hands from this, then God says, right, so you trust me, do you?
Yeah.
And the answer has to be yes.
It's a case of having peace and faith.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, you just can't work, can you, if you're praying and then you're going to worry about it still.
You see, what's your prayer filled with? Is your prayer filled with doubt and unbelief?
Mm.
Or is your prayer filled with hope, faith in God and love? Yeah, well, you can fill it with plenty of love.
Mm.
And the joy of the Lord will be in there, you see, with you. And when you fill it with hope and faith and love and the joy, then God's at work in this. Fear always paralyzes what God is doing.
Yeah.
Peter, when he got out of the boat, he walked on the water.
Mm.
Most people preach, he sank. Well, let's preach, he walked.
He walked back.
Because before he sank, he walked. And he walked in faith.
Mm.
It was only when fear overtook him with the size of the waves and the wind,
mm.
But then he began to sink in the sea there. So the question is, what do we have to work with? We have two options, faith or fear. And if it's fear, you're going
to
go down.
Yeah, definitely.
But the moment you're back in faith,
mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, and you walk back to the boat, you walk back to the boat. So he walked on the water, and he walked in faith. The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith in his God, who can change circumstances and situations. That's what we have to believe for. That's why so many people pray, or spend quite some time praying. That's why where Bill's been, hopefully today, that people that he's been with today have been praying.
Mm.
Members of Parliament are praying. What are they praying for? Hopefully they're praying that we as a nation will make the right decisions in line in accordance with the word of God.
Amen.
That our nation might be blessed.
Yeah.
That our nation might be still great.
Yeah.
This nation has been used mightily over the years to come against the darkness that has come into the world through satanic worship. Part of the wars that have been started in many times in over the centuries have been through satanic worship.
Mm.
Certainly the last two world wars, behind them was satanic worship.
Mm.
Not many people see that, not many people know that. It's glossed over. But we as a small nation, not with the greatest population, we were outgunned, we were outnumbered,
mm.
Were we not? You've done a lot of this survey on your websites on World War II. Were we outgunned?
Yeah, well, out everything.
Out everything.
Except, what can we say? The determination, would I say.
Mm.
There was a time in 1941 when this country would have capitulated. Because the entire cabinet, it was a coalition, the entire cabinet said we can't go any further, we'll have to surrender. That's when Churchill made his speech. We will never surrender. We will fight the bombing on that.
But you see,
so
behind.
If we were not for him, we would have gone.
But behind all that, you see, there were people that were praying.
Amen.
Mm. Yeah.
These people have never been recognised.
No.
But they were there.
Yeah.
They were praying. You know, we'd already paid a price, and we were praying. People were praying.
Mm.
Because as a nation, we were a nation of prayer.
Yeah, we were.
In those days. We didn't do everything right. We know that. That's not what we're talking about. But generally speaking, we were a nation that was dedicated to God.
Mm.
And a nation that prayed. And because of that, there was a difference made.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were people who were moved by what they saw. And they were in government. But we need people not to pray by what they see, in the sense to submit to it, but to pray in the Spirit and by the Word of God.
Yeah.
And they will see things change. We will see things change.
Yeah.
China now. There are millions of Christians in China praying. The underground church is massive, and these people are praying. And China is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing's happening in Russia. God is at work. But it is prayer that begins the process of change. The miraculous happens through prayer. You see, we serve a God who's a God of the impossible. And when we begin to pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, who's a God of the impossible, then guess what? Things change. That's how miracles happen. Miracles is the fact that these things are impossible. And yet when we take it to God, He does just the opposite to what is supposed to happen. He changes things.
Can I share a story here?
Mm-hmm.
I was reading last night about Watchman Nee, and he was in China. And Watchman Nee and a team of about six or seven of them were working and had been working in China for some years and not seen a lot of fruit. And they began to try and find out why people were not responding, and it came to light that the reason the people didn't respond was because the god that they worshipped, a demon god, treated them favourably and things were going well for them, and so they weren't interested in changing their god. So during the course of the conversation, it came to light that they had a particular day in the year that was dedicated to this god, and on that day it never rained, never. And so they said, Watchman Nee said, if it rains on this particular day that this demon god has said, you must worship me. And it will not rain on that day. If it rains on that day, then you know that my God is stronger than your demon God. And so the team of six for a month prayed. And God said to them, where is the God of Elijah? And they knew that they'd got the victory. And they prayed that the whole of the way through. Where is the God of Elijah? He will manifest himself on this particular day and it will rain. And they stood in agreement and prayed and thanked God. And on that very day, it rained. And it rained steadily, very lightly. And they got into prayer again. They said, God, this is not enough. We need a deluge. And God gave them a deluge. And in fact, the streets were running like rivers. And at the end of it, they said, all right, your God is greater than our demon God, and we're prepared to listen to you. And there were lots of people saved, and that was the beginning of a breakthrough for Watchman Nee in China. Power of prayer.
Mm. I remember something in that with Israel and all, that were fighting against the enemies, and
and the enemy got their gun, this big cannon, but when they tried to fire it, it missed every time, or it wouldn't fire, I can't remember which. And then they went through this minefield and they couldn't see where the mines were, and all of a sudden this wind come from nowhere and just blew, and you could see all the mines, you could see them inside where they were, so they just walked through.
I remember reading that.
When they took gun around.
And they fired when they got there.
Yeah, there are many stories where I don't know if somebody told this one here, but there was a soldier who was trapped behind enemy lines, and there was a woman who was there, and she said, "Don't worry, I'll protect you." And she led him through back to his own lines. And when he turned to thank her, she was gone.
Yeah.
Some years later, he became a Christian. And some years later, he was in the church sharing his testimony. And it turned out that this woman who had been praying for soldiers out there was in the meeting, and it happened to be, I can't remember the full detail, but she was the one who was praying. And it was like, well, the Bible, if you take the story of, just let me just back up slightly, if you take the story of Peter is in prison and the disciples are praying for Peter, and Peter is released from prison. The doors open, the chains fall off, and he's led out of prison by an angel, and he's off out down the street, and he's heading to his friends. Gets to the door, knocks on the door, and the girl, you know, slave girl, pulls back the latch, and little window, sees Peter at the doorway. Can you imagine just what happens? She sees Peter, slams it shut, and goes running back inside and says, "Hey, there's Peter stood outside." Yeah. Now they're all praying that Peter will be released. And they all say to her, "Yeah, all right, it's his angel, what you've seen." So this proves that the early church believed that there's an angel that looks like you.
Mm.
And she said, no, it's Peter. So finally they went and Peter was outside.
Mm.
But the early church believed that each and every one of us has an angel that looks like us. And this soldier saw this woman, and they got talking with one another. And she'd been praying, and when they compared the diary dates, it was the same time, the same day, the same year. And she led this soldier out of danger, back through enemy lines, back to his own division.
So that's through prayer then, isn't it?
Hey, I can tell you another one where a missionary was in Africa, and he was taking with him quite a sum of money to build a hospital. And he was in the city, and a gang of thugs and thieves had realised that he'd got a lot of money on him. So they realised that they knew where he was going to be going, so they decided they would follow him into the jungle, and then when he was sleeping, when they were not alert, they would then come down on him and steal the money and kill him. Well, as it happened, there was a prayer meeting going on in a church in England, and this church was praying for this missionary. They'd got a burden to pray for him. They didn't know he was carrying money, they didn't know where he was or what he was doing. Didn't have mobile phones and text messages in those days, right? Took a little bit longer, called letter post. Or, "When I arrive back, I'll tell you all about it." None of this instant. And so the missionary got to his destination, delivered the money, etc. And then the missionary fell ill and ended up in hospital. And in the next bed to him is this gang leader who was going to rob the missionary. The gang leader looked at him and thought, I know you. He says, aren't you, are you a missionary? He said, yeah. He said, and he said to him, weren't you going to a certain area in our country a few weeks back? And he said, yeah, I was. And they got talking, and this gang leader explained to him that, he said, where did you get those soldiers to go with you? He says, what soldiers? He says you had 25 soldiers guarding your camp. He says, we didn't have any soldiers. He says, you did. 25 soldiers were guarding us. And he said, because he said, my gang, we were going to come and rob you. He said, but when we saw that you were protected by these soldiers, we thought, leave this one alone. We're going to get killed here, and we left it. And the missionary's telling this story. In the end, the missionary led this man to Christ. But he's telling the story as he's going around churches in England. And a lady went to ask him and said, what day was it? Can you remember what day, etc., what month? And he started to think back, and turned out that that church that he was in that night, on the same night, there were 25 people in the church, and they were all 25 were praying for this missionary, for his protection and safekeeping and well-being. Can you tell me what's happening? Something is going on in the realm of the spirit that was released in that prayer meeting. And that is how powerful prayer is. And somebody's life was being protected, and the finances were being protected by supernatural ministering spirits sent from God to minister to the heirs of salvation. And that's what we are.
Yeah.
And so prayer does change. Prayer moves circumstances and situations around in such a way. Some of our prayers, we will never know how they were answered until that day that we arrive fully into the kingdom. There are many prayers that we'll have prayed and we will not know the results of them. But by faith, we trust and we believe.
Amen.
God. By faith, we believe that God will hear and answer prayer.
Mm.
Because he hears the prayers of the righteous.
Amen.
And he answers them. We've got testimonies in this church where we've prayed for people and we've seen the results of the answers.
Yeah.
I remember, and you've heard me tell the story before, where I had this burden to pray for this young girl. She was out in Spain. I did not know what was wrong with her, but she was in a lot of pain, and I just began to intercede and pray for her. And God did something. And then we wrote and communicated with the family, and they told me exactly what was wrong. And it was like, on that very day, if we'll listen to God, not only will he open our spiritual eyes, but he will open our spiritual ears. Even the prophets of old at times didn't see always in the realm of the supernatural.
No.
Balaam did not see the angel of God with his sword drawn, ready to kill him.
No.
But guess what? He was riding an ass. And his ass saw the angel.
No.
And wouldn't go any further. And God spoke to him. Because you see, Balaam became corrupt for a while, and his eyesight was closed down, supernaturally closed down. And then God opened it and said, look, and he saw the angel. God was teaching him a lesson. And you and I need to realise that as we spend time in the presence of God, I truly believe, and you've heard me say it before, that God wants to reveal his glory.
Yeah.
And he wants to reveal it to each and every one of you. He wants your spiritual eyes, he wants my spiritual eyes actually to be opened.
Mm.
So that we see beyond the natural and we see in the realm is of what is real and what is powerful, and that is the realm of the spirit.
Yeah.
I've been in certain situations just recently, and where once upon a time I would have been sort of quite upset, or I would have reacted different. I was talking to Grace a little bit about it, but what I'm saying is it's just these situations that I feel, I just know that God is with me. I can feel it, and I'm sat there thinking, I know that you're with me. And it's like as if the situation, this person, he can't do a thing. This person or whoever it is cannot hurt me, because I've just got this trust so much in God. And when you don't, and when you're doing that, you cannot, your feelings just don't come in.
No.
And I'm sat there thinking, I should be upset. It's just like as if there's such a peace, as if I can't explain it, but it's a wonderful feeling.
Mm.
I think that sometimes when I talk to people and I talk about Jesus and God, they stand back.
Yeah.
And they sort of stand back and think, and then they for some unknown reason they become a little bit nicer. Do you know what I mean? And this is not just one person, quite a few different people I spoke to, and then.
Mm.
I said, yeah, I've been going for 10 years, and oh, you're looking better. And then they're so polite and so just for a few minutes.
Mm.
Then it's the word, isn't it?
That's right.
It's the word.
Yeah. See, it's the word of truth. And you see, when the word lives in you, it affects you.
Mm.
To the positive, to the good.
Yeah.
And not just you, but it affects me. Bill, Ivy, Christy. You see, that this word is life-giving, life-changing, life-revealing. This is what this word is, this word Jesus.
Mm.
It makes me feel as though they can sense something, you know what I mean? They're just different bit, they react, oh yeah, would you like a cup of tea? And they just come so nice. they feel it, that I'm sure they do, that I think they just that few minutes that they feel something, and they're polite to you then.
Well, you see, as individuals, we carry the anointing
with
and the presence of God.
Yeah.
And if you will acknowledge Jesus, people will. There will be something that is there. There is always a presence of God with you.
Yeah.
And God will do a work through you and me. It might seem small, but God is reaching out and wanting to touch lives. And prayer is so powerful. You read where Jesus would on a regular basis go on one side to pray, to commune with his Father, to spend some time in his presence, because spending time in the presence of his Heavenly Father was giving him strength. He was in the presence of the glory of God, like the disciples when they were went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. What happened there? Well, they were privileged to have their spiritual eyes opened.
Mm.
Because Moses is dead in the flesh. Elijah should not exist. But in the realm of the Spirit, they exist. God reveals them to Jesus and to the disciples. And Jesus, the glory of God, is amongst them, the presence of God. Reading in Isaiah, where, I think it's Isaiah chapter 4 or 5, reading tonight, where it talks about God wanting to be over his people. In the daytime with a cloud, which as we know from the time of Moses, would always stipulate that presence of God was here, the glory was amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
And on a night time, that there would be a pillar of fire. A fire over the people. Again, this is to say that the glory of God is still with his people.
Yeah.
And yet his people now don't want to know him. They crucified his son. And people today don't want to know God. It's a crutch. Well, depends how you use it. I tell you what, for me, it's been the best thing that ever happened in my life.
Oh my, me too.
And it's not a crutch that to hobble on.
No.
But it's a lifeline that allows us to do great and mighty things and to see the wonders of God in the universe and in this earth. And I believe that through this, you know, we shall see great and mighty things.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of it. I keep saying it, and hopefully I'll convince enough people that at some stages we won't, when we come together, we shall see the glory of God.
Amen.
I'll say it enough till it happens, I suppose, in that sense. People think, oh, he's nuts. Yeah, well, okay, that's fine. I'll be nuts because I'm believing God. I believe that my God can do all things through Christ Jesus. My God can do great things through his word, and my God wants to reveal himself to me, to you, to those that love him. He wants to have a personal relationship. There's no doubt about it. It's right way through the Bible.
And it happened in Pensacola, didn't it? The mother revivals.
Yep, there's been revivals and the presence and the glory of God has visited. So, hey, guess what? God is in the visitation business,
man.
John.
Oh, man.
And you can start from in the Garden of Eden, visitations of God. You can go through the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, visitations of the presence of God. And you can, you know, angels appearing, Daniel, Gideon, and Joshua, and you can keep on going. And these are the visitations. This is part of the glory of God that has to be and should be seen. So it's not something that's pie in the sky. It's not something that might happen. It has already happened. So if it's been a pattern in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, how much more should it be a pattern in the New Covenant, which is a far better covenant, which is a perfect covenant? And so it should be happening, but it should be in the churches. That's where it should be. And that we should carry, see, we're vessels to carry the glory, the Spirit of God, the presence of God. That's what we're meant to do. And that people suddenly look at you and say, something's different about you. What is it? And it's the beginning of the signs of the glory of God. That's what it is.
Well, I found that I'm talking to people different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having a conversation with somebody. They might be pulling somebody to pieces or saying this and that, and I'm saying, well, you don't know what they've gone through, you don't know. And I find I'm doing that, and it's not me to be like that. But this last month, and I don't know whether it's because I've been coming here on a Wednesday, that something's making me different.
You see, Ivy,
you know,
the more time we spend in the Word, together in the Word, it changes us, doesn't it? Well, Bill has already told us in the past by the fact that he's listened and re-listened and re-listened to messages that it has definitely had an effect on him, to the good. Is that not true?
Mm.
And so the benefits that we have of technology, that we can sit down and re-listen to messages again and again and again, it's feeding our spirit.
Yeah, it's really been a boon to me, listening again and again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you see, this is what we've got to do when we listen, is that, you know, we're partaking of the Word, and the Word is Jesus.
Mm.
And we need to realise more and more that Jesus wants to take you and me to another level.
Mm.
That's what he wants to do. None of us are at the place where Jesus wants us.
No.
Okay? Well, there's a mountain to climb,
mm.
and he's saying, come up higher.
Mm.
Come up higher.
But it's amazing, like I was saying just earlier on about being in this situation, I've actually felt it's like as if I get my peace and prayer, I'm in a situation, I feel myself thinking, God will sort this out. And it's like as if immediately is there.
Yeah.
I feel that. I felt it so much at weekend, and I just thought, oh, I can do anything here. Nothing's going to bother me. It just, it's like as if I'll see the situation, but I won't take it on board. I won't.
Yeah.
You feel protected.
I do. Mm. And I can't describe it. I'm not going to describe the situation, but I felt it more this weekend. And it's like as if God's like said to me, I felt it. He said to me, I will prove to you that I'm with you.
Mm. Yeah.
You see, the Word says he will never leave us.
And that's what.
And he will never forsake us. Now, it
yeah.
doesn't say, and neither will you leave me nor forsake me. Doesn't say that, does it? Because God can't say that, because he knows that we're fickle.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that we're weak.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that we can be easily distracted.
Mm-hmm.
But he's single-eyed,
mm-hmm.
single purpose. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Right?
Some people will leave him.
But there will be people, and have been people, and still will be people that will leave him and forsake him. But God has not walked away from them. They have walked away from God. And for people to say that they still love the Lord and not assemble themselves together in a church, they are deceived. They are deceived amongst all men.
I think they're in a dangerous position. You know, because you get out of the covering, don't you?
You do.
And you get in a, well, the enemy can get at you any time.
Yeah.
Well, they can't be thinking about faith and peace and being together, can they? They can't do, because they won't be like that.
Well, scripture. Let's take one small scripture. And we are going totally, if we walk away from God and separate ourselves from the church and we don't assemble ourselves together, then we're actually walking away from a principle in the Word of God.
Mm.
Right? One shall put 1,000 to flight. That's one who's in relationship with God. Two shall put 10,000 to flight.
Mm.
Right? So if we separate ourselves, we suddenly bring ourselves to a point where we're of little effect.
Mm.
But if two of us get together, boy, now we've become very effective.
Mm.
When three of us get together, we're extremely effective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
right. Exactly. Those are the numbers. So it's this exponential increase that suddenly begins to happen when the body begins to function together.
Yeah.
You see, and prayer, when we begin to pray together, then we begin to see signs, wonders and miracles.
Yeah.
Things will change.
Yeah.
Things will change. And the problem is that our churches, and even ourselves at times, we have lost the desire, lost the art of actually praying together.
Yeah.
And prayer is powerful.
Mm.
It is a weapon that we, I'm not going to use the word secret weapon, but it is a weapon that we have not understood its power.
Yeah, it's true.
We have underestimated the power of prayer.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
In the church.
Yeah.
And we need to relook at that in our own lives, in our own lives to, and our lives together, and realise how powerful prayer can be. And the when the enemy comes against us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. But that comes through prayer. It comes through relationships. That's what it does. People often use that scripture when the enemy comes in like a flood. No, the enemy can't come in like a flood, because I'll give you some reasons, simple reasons for this. There are more angels that are serving God than there are against God. Okay? So you can't have more of demonic forces coming against God, because God has got already more on his side. So where's the flood going to come from? It's going to come from God, hasn't it? So straight away, so that translation, when the enemy comes against us like a flood, the pause is in the wrong place. The comma's in the wrong place. When the enemy comes in, pause, comma.
But he's been defeated and taken stripped of his power, hasn't he? Or he's got power.
Well, Jesus, that's right.
Exactly.
And Jesus died on the cross. He took the keys of death and hell. Took all the authority off the devil. He has no authority but what you and I give to him. We give it up.
As soon as we get that little bit of negative or worry, that's it, it's not.
We're giving it up to
and
him.
That's what's been a big.
Adam and Eve had the keys, they gave them up. Don't give it up.
Amen.
We stand against him. And then the Spirit of the Lord, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up his standard. Whose standard? The standard of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lifts up his standard against the enemy, Satan, and he's defeated. That's how you have to realize prayer works. That's what it does for us. That's how it change and push back the enemy. There may be some delays, yes, but that does not mean we're defeated. That does not mean we're defeated. But it means that God is at work and that we must be faithful.
Can I relate to another instance here that I read? There was an elderly couple who had always, all their lives, they'd had a family altar. And every day, them two and the children, their two boys, always started with prayer and reading the Word of God. And the boys left home, and they were both very successful and they were prosperous, and they didn't have much time for the parents. They didn't see them very often, and the mum and dad still lived in the old family home, and eventually they passed away, and the two sons went back to the house with a view to just tearing it down and building a summer home for them to have for the holidays. And when they got back to the old house, they sat and neither of them said anything. And for 2 hours, they just sat in that house and they couldn't move. And after 2 hours, the both of them broke down and cried and repented and gave their lives back to God. And from that point on, that they didn't tear the family home down, they couldn't. It was like a sanctuary, a place where they met God, because their parents' prayers were still at work in these lads, though they had apparently gone away. And they both gave their lives to God, and they've been being wealthy businessmen. They were both very generous in what they gave to the work of God, and they rededicated their lives, and they regularly set themselves up in church and follow God implicitly from that point on. And I thought that was beautiful. The parents never saw it, but that family altar God never forgot. They'd sown seed, and God honoured that seed and brought a harvest. So we may not always see it, But God will bring a harvest because he is faithful.
Well, Kenneth Copeland prays that he prayed for a girl that were having seizures like the one in the Bible, and of course she had one really bad one he'd prayed for, and they carried her out. And, and the devil was telling him it didn't work, see, it didn't work. Prayed, but it's hopeless. But he says no, he was determined that he'd realise that prayer did work. And so he just stood in faith and says, yes, it worked. And it was years later when he was at one of those dinners, what they have for Christian, you know.
Businessmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there, and the mother was there, and she was giving the testimony about it, and the girl was healed from that time on. But you see, the devil tried to throw a spanner in works,
yeah.
And tried to get him in doubt, but
yeah.
He weren't having it, so. Yeah.
You see, the prayer of faith
yeah.
shall save the sick.
Mm.
So, you pray the prayer of faith, you don't do it, you don't heal the sick, but
no.
God does. So, when you've done the prayer of faith, that's it. It's God's responsibility. You believe God, walk away from it, thank God for it.
Mm.
Helen, she's here in relationship with Jesus and in the church because of her grandmother.
Yeah.
Grandmother died, she said, before she saw it happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, did she see it? She finally saw it. But she
yeah.
prayed for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Roundabout, just think she died in 84.
So she saw it.
Yeah.
And she prayed. She prayed for many years for Helen's salvation.
It's all her fault.
And, you know, I suppose when, you know, she'd been praying for what? 30 years, just over. Are you sure?
Yes, because I was 28 when
oh,
I
Oh, you're 28. Well, close to 30 years then.
Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not
28 years, eh? And she'd been praying for her. And Grandma had seen her go through some of the difficult, terrible times. Yeah? But prayed for her. Continued to pray for
her. She knew it were no good telling me.
She tried that.
Hey.
But prayer changes things.
Can I just say another one? I didn't sleep last night, so I spent ages reading.
Well, I didn't either. I didn't sleep.
Glad somebody's in the night watches praying.
This was another story of a man who, a father who had some terrible news, and he blamed God and he would not forgive God. And he just turned away in bitterness. And the son couldn't do anything about it. And he prayed and he gave it to God. And then he never spoke a word to his father about it. He left it. And it was 18 years later that his father gave his heart to the Lord and repented. But during those 18 years, his son never mentioned it again. He knew when he prayed that God had taken it up and God would answer and he would sort it out if he took his hands off it and let God do it. And that's something that's very important, Tracy.
Yeah.
Take your hands off it, give it to God, take your hands off it, and he will resolve it his way, his time. And it might not be today, but he will do it, and he's faithful and he'll keep his promise. And he did with this man, and it was very simply answered, because this man had a stroke. No, he hadn't been feeling well, and the son went up to see him. And when he got to his father's house, he thought his father wasn't at home. And he went into the front lounge, and he saw the piano there. And he went to the piano, and he started to play an old hymn. And he was worshipping God as he was playing this hymn because it blessed him so much. And as he finished the hymn, he turned round and his father was sat in the chair behind him, just in floods of tears. And the power of God was in that place. And he didn't know it, and he didn't know what he'd done or how it happened, but God spoke to him through that hymn and brought him to repentance. And 4 days later, he was dead, his father. So, hey, you know, he missed a lot by being bitter, but God didn't allow him to go to hell, you know, because his son stood in the gap.
Well, Joel Osteen's father, he was saved, and his father was in the woods once, years and years ago, and he was in a snowstorm, and he got lost in the woods, and he couldn't find his way out. And he said to the Lord, he said, "If you'll keep me safe in this, and get me alive, get me out of this place, I'll serve you." Well, the next morning he woke up and he was so warm. He thought he'd die. So he was warm and so warm. But he didn't serve the Lord. He went for years and years, I think about 20-odd years. But then he came, when John Osteen was preaching, he came in one day and he says, "I've come to pay my debt." And he told him about the story. He didn't know anything about it. And he came back, came to the Lord. That one didn't end. I mean, sometimes they just get in time.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can miss so much as well.
Oh, you can.
So much to be involved in and to do. And to be the thrill of.
When people notice differences in you, that's a sign that you're bearing fruit.
Yes,
it is.
That's true.
This morning I saw a rabbi with a big black hat on and his long beard and all that stuff, and I saw a Sikh driving a bus, a London bus, and I thought, they have to wear their religion.
Mm.
It's like the people who put the fish on the back of the car, they're wearing their religion.
Mm.
Whereas if they're bearing fruit, they wouldn't have to, would they?
No.
No.
Absolutely
true, Bill. Yeah.
And that's why I say, I honestly believe that the glory of God wants to be on his people, that when the heathen, the people who don't know God, look at him and say, "There's something different about you. What is it?" It disturbs them enough to cause them to inquire.
Mm.
And it's the glory and the presence of the living God.
Mm.
In this vessel, in these vessels, this is what it's about. And I believe that's how the church should be.
Mm.
I believe that the people of God should be. The word said, "We are light." We're a light. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth.
Mm.
That's what Jesus termed it as. You're distinctive.
Yeah.
In flavour.
Yeah.
You're a light. People are attracted to the light. They see the light. It's a help. And that's what we should be. And people should see that.
Mm.
But you see, I see that now there are so many Christians who, they're off to clubs and pubs and various things and think it's okay. Now, and they're doing what's being done in the world.
Mm.
But is that what Jesus said we should do? Is that being a light? I don't think it is.
No.
I'm not saying we can't go into those places, but we certainly don't need to act like them.
No.
Mm-hmm. We need to be a light. We need to demonstrate that we are different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even today I've seen the sun's been out today. We've had no rain. And it brings people out.
Oh,
and I have seen today a numerous guys just walking down the middle of the road. You know, I'm like, look, I'm not looking for a mascot to go on my bonnet. But it appears that one or two would like to somehow ride on somebody's bonnet. You know, cars are coming towards them and they stood in the middle of the street and they're waving to somebody or hollering at somebody down the street, and you're thinking, this is today's society. They're either drunk or on drugs, and the sun's out, so they come out.
I went to town yesterday and on the market were two horrible creatures. They were horrible, I'm doing it. They were drunk and on drugs and everything. And I just looked up and thought, what a horrible thing you are. That, you know what I mean? That's what. They were filthy, dirty, mucky, unkept. I went like that and I walked up on the side of the street.
But
we're supposed to reach out to them, aren't we?
Well, we are trying. But this is what sin does in a person's lives.
Yeah.
It puts them, it brings them down to that level. It's destructive. And Jesus came and said, "I've come to pick you up and give you life."
Yeah.
So prayer is powerful. And prayer will change things.
It will.
And when we pray, we leave it with God. So I'm glad that those of you that were up last night were praying.
We were.
Because some of us were asleep. Resting in the peace of God. Basking in his presence. Being guarded by angels while we slept. So thank you for that. That's very much appreciated.
Yes, I had a beautiful sleep.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank God.
I slept well.
Glad you did.
Keep up the good work.
Yes, glory to Jesus.
There is just a testimony here. Last Friday night when we were at Teen Challenge, there was a lad came in and he said he'd meet Andrew today, and he said it times many and he's never turned up. And it was on the tip of my tongue on Friday to say something to the negative effect. And this little voice just checked me and said, shut up. Your confession.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pray. And so I prayed and I said, God, there's only one person that can possibly make him turn up on Wednesday, and that's you. Because everybody else has failed. Mm. And I never said another word. Andrew went out to meet him, and he was there.
Oh, that sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, praise God. And this is it. It's in the end, we cannot change these people.
You can't change them. There's only God.
Yes, only God can do it.
You can't change yourself.
Oh,
no,
John.
No, we've enough, as have said in the past, you've enough on looking after yourself. But I won't try to look after somebody else.
That's what Jesus said to Peter, isn't it? Never mind about John.
Yeah.
About look after yourself.
But when you start trying to look after somebody else and start taking on their cares and their worries and their stress, guess what?
You get burdened yourself, don't you?
Exactly.
Well, that's what God's had to say to me. That's why I've gone through where I've gone through.
Yeah.
And I thought it took me all this time to realise.
Well, girl, smarten up.
Oh,
yeah. Wise up, you know.
Mum knows about it, don't you?
You know, you've just got to say, okay, God, fine. I've got to wise up, be smart, and let God do it. Because you see, if you're busy with taking up with the worries and the cares of this world, you're not doing what God intended you to do, and that's to enjoy His creation. Are you? You've been trapped by it, and life is going to be cut short. I don't plan to be cut short, really, at the moment.
Amen.
Not too much to do.
Yeah.
Too many things to go for in the things of the kingdom. So.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank God as I'm sat here for bringing me through what I've been through. It's a pleasure to share with you, just talking about prayer and everything tonight, because I've really felt Him with me.
Amen. Praise
and,
the Lord.
And Helen... I've had you blasting out at me. You've been blasting out with me the last couple of days, I tell you, and what you've said has been brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just think, oh, I've heard this before, but she was really hit the nerve, you did.
A good idea it was, Bill.
It brilliant,
really?
I thought that. And you did as well, you did your bit.
Yeah.
What you said.
Oh, we're all here to help each other, aren't we? I mean, we're a family, aren't we?
We
care for each other.
That's right.
And it's lovely to.
But imagine if people.
Oh, you've got somebody there.
Imagine if people got on the website and started to listen to what you're listening to, what it can do to people's lives through the world.
Yeah.
We don't know at this time how many people that website has touched and affected.
No.
We will know one day.
Mm-hmm.
We will know one day. But that's why I say that when we're sharing, it is so important that we always bring the word. Because it's the word that gives life. You weren't there at the church in Rotherham on the Saturday. Probably a bit drunk in this one, but I basically told them that 2.5 hours singing songs is not going to do anything for you, because it's this that gives life.
No,
Jesus said, I am the word, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And it is this word, the truth, that sets you free.
Yeah.
It's this word. It's this word that brings us to a point of making us righteous, covers us, protects us, brings us into health, brings us the presence, opens our spiritual eyes to the things of God. The singing doesn't. The singing is an add-on to the word.
Mm.
Because you can't sing about something or someone if you don't know them.
No.
Because they're empty words.
Mm.
But when you know them, when you've been in this word and you know them, and you know Jesus, then maybe you can start to sing. But you see, we've swapped it all around.
Mm.
And we sing and sing and sing and sing and sing. And then we find churches have a 10-15 minute word.
Probably because we find that in most churches, musicians are self-indulgent, and they love,
yeah,
they love to perform.
Bill, Bill, that is another subject to preach on, so will you better not get me on that one tonight?
You've successfully closed the meeting, Bill.